Certain things necessary, certain things you must accept, be saved. And without those certain principles, you're not saved. There are some creatures of earth, you know them by their nature. And other creatures, regardless of what they're called, doesn't act. In other words, a cat doesn't act like a dog because it's not a dog. Vice versa, the same. That makes it different. By the help of the Lord and your prayers, I want to make a little attempt to explain a few things about Christian living that every Christian ought to know. I don't think I bring many new things, totally new, because my pattern of teaching, more or less, is to bring that which is familiar with a little new slant to it, maybe that we hadn't just noticed before. Now, I outlined my message somewhat in a way that I can help you to see what we're trying to talk about, I believe. I will read a text to you as a starting point. Then I would like to fall back on my notes for a few minutes so as to help to get your mind in the right channel to think with me for a little while. The text we're reading is in the second chapter of 1 Peter and verse 1 we could begin to read. We'll probably read three verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy, that means all of it too, and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Let me read that again. As newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We got to correct that. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'm tempted to read those three verses again. I kind of stumbled through it. Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, that the Lord is gracious. So the text that I didn't locate, I'd like for someone to get it from me in case you need it. Maybe just to quote it correctly might be well. Something like this. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You run something close to that. You said it's the last verse of the third chapter of 2 Peter. I quoted pretty close. That's pretty close to it. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to say about that, I'll probably use that later, I think I will. It is possible to grow in knowledge and not keep pace with your knowledge and grace. Your grace didn't keep pace with your knowledge. People that are taught from their youth in the Church of God, taught the Church of God doctrine, many of them have more knowledge than grace. I know a few people in my life that have been taught the way of the Lord, and I know of one that wasn't even saved, but he successfully defended the doctrine. A group of folks got saved, he was on hand, and someone mentioned the fact that he was taught the way of the Lord and had been saved. They gathered around him for advice. He told them just what was wrong, and they give up certain errors that was threatening them, even some destructive movement
that is, own hand. He warned them against that. And of course, they're begging him for advice, convicted him, and he did get saved. But the part I'm getting at, he had knowledge beyond his grace. Now, we better say, we must be thoughtful now to get grace according to our knowledge. Don't just have knowledge of right and wrong, we want grace equal to that. Then it's wonderful. Go in grace and in the knowledge, both. We want to learn more and more about more and more grace here. All right? So much for that. The reason I brought that text to the front at this time, because the third verse, pardon me, the second verse of the lesson, said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. That's why we have brought the thought of growth in grace. Grace. And in the knowledge wherewith the Holy Name, thou art and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me see if I can find a few things I just wrote down to remember to get this into your mind a certain way. And then I believe you can follow me as I talk, because it'll give you an idea of what I'm going to talk about. You may have malice and not know it. I thought I knew all about myself. As malice in its first or early stage is hard to detect. I ought to go a little further than that. As it is just an ill will, that's where it starts off, an ill will, and not hatred, nor envy, nor bitterness. Now, in the courts of our land, they use the term for persons kill a man, and they have evidence that he had malice or forethought. In other words, he planned to kill that man in advance. And he carried bitterness against him and plotted and watched for an opportunity. They call that malice or forethought. Now, in the courts of our land, it perhaps would not be dealing with the thought we're dealing with tonight. They'd be speaking of malice in its mature stage. But I want to mention malice as it would look when it first take hold. And I hope you'll follow me closely. And if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, let's sit down and talk about it after you get through and you see. All right? I say, you may have malice and not know it. As malice in its first or early stage is hard to detect. I mean by the person themselves, even as much. And it is just an ill will. That's the way it first began. And not hatred, nor envy, nor bitterness. It hasn't reached that stage. Malice, in its early stage, would not cause a person to do harm to the one that hurts him. It would take no part in harm in them. But if harm comes to that person, they would find a hidden satisfaction in their heart. That's the symptoms of malice in God's own hand. All right. Malice means an ill will, which usually grow out of an ill treatment, or at least you think you've been mistreated. When you're treated ill, when you're simply mistreated without a cause, that hurts sanctified people. I mean folks that sanctify, that the Holy Ghost on board, that hurts them. And if you're mistreated by one to whom you've given your heart and confidence, it hurts you worse. That's true. But to a sanctified person, he usually gets the victory over it within the hour. He usually gets control of things, even though it hurt him seriously, might disturb him. But he usually gets victory. The aching may be there, but I mean he gets control of himself within the hour that it happens. He usually does. And if you don't do it, it's dangerous to you. Amen. I'm not going to attempt before this audience to measure off how many minutes it would have to be before you get the victory. But I'm speaking of what ordinarily happens. Seems like. All right? That's a malice means an ill will, which usually grow out of ill treatment. In other words, you've been treated wrong, or you think you've been treated wrong. The effect is the same on you. And it hurts you because you felt you're treated wrong without a cause. And that hurts you deeply. Amen. That's an ill feeling. If you nourish that feeling and justify yourself because you feel that way, on the ground that I was treated wrong, you see, the devil doesn't care how you do it, just so he gets you to justify your condition. If for any reason you justify your condition, you're playing in the hands of the devil. When you're hurt. When you're hurt, no matter how seriously, how wrong you were treated, you should seek deliverance as quick as you possibly can. Seek to get the control of the situation. Ill will comes from ill treatment, ordinarily. Now, we're not going to attempt to close every other avenue it comes from, but I'm speaking of the common way it comes about. All right. Now, all people, saved and sanctified, saved for 50 years or 15 days, there's a possibility that by some twist of circumstances, something hurts you deeply. Because you're still human, though you're sanctified human. But when this hurts you, get the control of it immediately. Cry unto God right now. Confess to Him what effect it's had on you. And seek His aid and strength. It's better to do that before you try to adjust the matter. You attempt to try to demand an adjustment of the wrong, deeply hurt, you'll either end up worse off. So seek to get yourself in good shape. Confess to God how it affected you. Heaven is where we started. Amen. I repeat again now. Malice means ill will. And an ill will usually comes from ill treatment. And remember when I say ill treatment, I'm referring to when you think so. If you learn later you're mistaken, the same effect on you. Because you thought you were treated wrong. And it hurts you really deeply. That's why I say you can have malice and don't know it. Amen. I'm speaking of malice in its early stage, when it's first set in. I'm not speaking of malice in its mature stage, when you're around plotting and trying to get the advantage of yourself. You're in bad shape now. I doubt whether you can pay out by yourself now, when you get that full up. All right. This is the point that we want to get real clear in our mind. When a thing has hurt you deeply, I don't mean it just hurts you a little and you forget in 3 minutes. It hurts you deep enough that you do not feel good toward the person that hurts you. If it hurts you, that means you don't feel good toward them. That can happen to folks that feel sanctified. Now, I guess I'm into them. I mean, they're still sanctified and hurts that deep. But you've got to take care of it. Some people call that making loopholes for folks. But here is the point. If we try to bow around, laying facts down, let somebody think the loopholes, there's some sincere people who get in close place and throw up their hands in despair. They didn't know they could pray down. Amen. So I want it clear in our minds here tonight that when something, by any twist of circumstance, has hurt you that deep, why you just do not feel as good as you felt before it hit you. Have no evil intentions in mind. You wouldn't even help to get in there, consent to anybody else to do harm. Amen. But you're hurt. You feel like I shouldn't have been treated that way. No, it's uncalled for.
Yeah.
You better not go to justifying yourself because you know you're treated wrong. You better confess that to God. Acknowledge your hurt to God. Ask Him to come to your rescue. Ask Him to give you strength, reinforce it this time, lift you above it, give you power of it.
Amen.
And God will do it on the spot. They tell me that if early in World War II, they had something they didn't have in World War I. They had tanker tanks and tanker planes, they tell me. Now these tanks that roll all on traction in war, blazing away on the front line. They said they'd have to haul fuel up there. I get it to it somewhere, I get it back to a place to refuel that tank. But they tell me that by early World War II, they had tanker tanks equipped with the same traction as a fighting tank. And they roll right along in formation or close to it and refuel that thing right in the front line.
And they tell me they've got tanker planes. Big bummers that need lots of fuel. Plane that can fly a plane along that's had enough, the whole plane in a tank full of fuel. The plane that can fly up there and refuel that thing in flight. God had that a long time ago.
Yes, yes.
Amen. God can refuel you in flight. Right on the spot when the devil says, I've got him now. All I've got to do is pin him down under this condition. He'll pine away a little while. If you'll call on God and confess your need, he'll refuel you on the spot. That's true. And you'll come out of that thing with victory. Amen now. How about? No, he doesn't. He can do it right on the spot in a minute. I'd like for every saved person to learn how quick you can snap out of it when you're hurt deeply. I mean, your heart's crushed. We need to learn how quick you can snap out of it by just confessing as though you were the sinner, not even trying to fix the other end of it. Confess your condition and plead the mercy of God. Tell God how you want to save him, and this thing is too much for him. He can give you power and grace on the spot. Give it to you while you feel for you. And it's something the Bible says, while we house him, while we still call you. Yes. Before you call out here and while you're yet speaking, I'll ask.
Yes,
now God can do that for you.
Amen.
No need to act like we all iron, you know, and nothing to touch the feelings and everything. We're just sanctified folks. Got the Holy Ghost. But the point is this. The Holy Ghost had all the power you need if you love God that way. That's what we're looking at. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can see I'm not making loopholes. I'm just pointing out some benefits that God has for us. All right. Even your close friends are members of your family. You may not notice or realize you have malice on hand. That's true. Until it reaches a dangerous stage. Then not only they know it, but most everybody else knows it.
Yeah.
Around you, close to you. That's true. You may not realize it. Folks close to you may not realize it. They may not realize you have malice. Now, but when it reached the stage that everybody around close can see it, you're already in serious danger. Your soul is greatly threatened right there when it comes out that far. But I want us to locate it sooner than that. And by the help of the Lord, I want to try to explain something tonight to why we can put our finger on it almost when it first happens. You can tell whether you affected that deeply or not and get the victory over it right there. Because when it reached the place that the person close to you recognize it, you already see the thing. Your soul is greatly threatened because the thing is manifesting itself. It's no longer just a hurt, but it's coming out somewhere or another. By action, attitude, expression, a word or something is showing up a little. Well, we want the victory for this act. Amen. Let me see if I have any. Yes, I believe I did have a few more notes. Since those close to you cannot tell that you have malice on hand, you'll have to ask God to help you discern it early that you may get rid of it soon as it, get rid of it soon is what I'm trying to say, as it will grow very fast. I've already brought that out, haven't I? And turn into hatred and bitterness and even envy. Now, what I'm trying to bring out, what I want to make myself remember here, is to explain this. Since your close friends, your wife or husband, if you please, they themselves, very possibly, couldn't tell that you have malice, if you affected that deeply being. They may know something hurt you a little. You don't know it's self. Now, since we realize that, and it's so, then we should do this. We should pray that the Lord give us discernment, that we may recognize the slightest stage of malice. What I'm trying to tell you is, a person is not unsaved because he's got malice on hand. But when he gets light on it and realizes it, he certainly better get rid of it, or he will not be saved. Now that's what I'm trying to bring out here. But here's the point. I would like to know it before some open outburst takes place. Either expression of faith, actions, or anything, when it go that far, I'm hurt already. I've received great damage. Amen. When it's just obvious to others around me that I have ill will against the Lord, I've already been damaged.
seriously. So I want your prayers, and let us pray, each one, that we may discern it sooner than that, that we may be able to recognize quickly. Now suppose, for an illustration, I've got my hand masked a little. Oh, it hurts. Now, wring it and everything to get released. Then suppose something masked my friend, and I heard the bones crack and crack. I now know that I better get a tension somewhere. The seriousness of the hurt. The same way it is when your feelings hurt. Sometimes things heat hurt your feelings. You can throw it off almost without praying. Just kind of forget it. But sometimes you're hurt in a way that if you notice yourself, you can recognize that it got to you pretty deep that time. Yeah. Let's get a hold of it right now. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Get a hold of it now and take it to God in prayer. If every person, listen to me, will take close note to his own heart, his own inward reaction to things, and take care of it in time, there'll be very few times you need anybody else, amen, to help you take care of anything. That's true. Now, I don't believe in spiritual welfare. We don't want a lot of welfare funds. Amen. Now, here's the trouble about welfare. The money spent is good as any other money, but you got to know all your business. Help you, isn't that right? Amen, now. Now, when you get into something, amen, now. I want you to follow me a little bit. When you need help, how are anybody going to help you unless you tell them all about it? Amen, now. Well, so our clients got to expose his business, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now, when you get in so deep and something you can't get out by yourself, you got to expose some of your own business to get help. It's not wrong. That's the thing to do. But wouldn't you rather? I'd rather pick cotton, potatoes, chop wood, or anything else, and make a living than to get on welfare. And I don't think it's sin to get on either. I think it's just the good thing that the Lord has provided. But if there's another way around, I'd rather do it. That's true. I'd rather live on a less amount of money than the wealth I get. I'm done personally. And it's not wrong to have it either. Just as long as folks don't do anything tricky, you know, to get it. But I'm trying to tell you, to get it, you got to tell all your business. Now, when you seek help from others to pray for you and help you out of entanglement, there's no way they can get to it unless you tell them what the problem is. Amen. So let's try and stay off of welfare as much as we can, spiritual welfare. I'm not condemning welfare either. I thank God for it. I think it's right. I think people that's needy and can't do anything about it, I believe God himself wants something done about their needs. But I think it's just better. You can get them back to them. All right, now come back to my thought now. Yes. It'll do that for us, wouldn't it? That's a good point. So the bright side fits that leaf, isn't it? Amen. All right. Now, here's what I want you to notice. If every Christian, starting from the time you're saved, if you will actually watch yourself carefully, don't get started trying to skip all blame on somebody else and exonerate yourself. You can get into such a state that you just sleep on into hell. That's true. But start to watch yourself. Instead of talking about you oughtn't have done this to me, the thing I'm concerned about, the effect it's having on me. And I want God to help me out. And then we'll talk later about how you treated me. I'm not in shape to talk now anyway. I'll have to talk too rough. But the thing has got to me, and I see it, and I'm going to God with it. And if we will do that, pastors, ministers of cable and the pulpit, field ministers and whatnot can be reached and released to reach more souls. Amen. Otherwise, in prison, they'll take the evangelists, the pastors, the ministers, 40 years experience. They'll have to be tied up with a little bunch of people trying to help them go out and keep safe. That's where that'll be. If we don't learn to dig out of some things ourselves, if we don't learn to recognize my need and actually pray out of it, when I come to church, I'm testifying to how God brought me out instead of trying to get you crazy out.
Yeah, but you get the church and you're out. That's what it's there for, you get there. Sure, that's what it's for. If I'd find out, I'm even helping the pulpit, I'd quit cutting the sermon off. Get out of here and get out for help. It's not wrong to seek help. But I'm trying to say, let's try to get the help in such a way that we've got it all the time. All right. Now, if your malice is left uncared for, when it reached that stage of an ill feeling and an ill will, your will now, it begins to back your feelings up, you see. When it reaches that stage, if you don't take care of it, it will not take it long until you actually have some bitterness on hand. It can run into hatred. Then what do you need then? You say, I want you to pray for me to be more strong. You don't need to be strong. You're too strong already. You need to get saved. That's true. You look just like you looked beforehand, but you're unsaved. You dress modest, you feel modest, but you're unsaved. So you have bitterness in your heart. Well, Brother Chandler, I didn't do a thing to anybody. All I can prove that they mistreated me, and I didn't do a thing to them. And probably you can prove it. But your conscience can prove to you that you've got bitter about it. And lost out. Now you want the saints to pray for you that God to give you more strength. No, you don't need the strength, it's too strong already. You need to pray for God to save you again. Amen. Then you're candidate for sanctification. Praise the Lord. Now then give you power to be saved. There's no need of teaching holiness and living something else. Living holy means to keep faith all the time. Yes. When you're in trouble, when you're out, when you're mistreated, when you're ill, a good treat is well. That's what God's holiness means. Amen. You live faith. That means you live faith when you're surrounded with severe temptations. You keep faith and fight it. That's living holy.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now then, I'm going to say this. When you let your malice keep growing, I mean, since I want to speak for everybody to understand me, when that ever hurts you, God, when you more or less nourished it and justified it and mused over how the person treated you, and you think more about proving it wrong than getting the help you need in your own heart, that thing will grow in your hand until you got bitterness in your heart.
Yeah.
And then it's so big that you notice something matter with it, then you can run up to the altar, ask for a prayer for God to strengthen you. You need to be saved. This is good talk. Just in case somebody thinks it's not, let's know this is good talk. Now, the thing we need is obedience. You're supposed to stay. Heaven is where we started. Holiness means living right. Isn't that not in Luke 1, 73 to 75, when said the oath which God swore to our father Abraham, he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemy, would serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before we have all the days of our life. That's how long we live holy. Amen. He didn't say I'll get saved every camp meeting until I get to heaven. Amen. Didn't say that, did it? It said, all the days of my life.
Yes.
And if you take good notice of yourself, when a thing gets to you that deep, as we've described here today, don't waste your time in proving who somebody mistreated you. You got more important things at hand right now.
Yeah.
Your concern now is that God may help me out and come to my rescue.
Yes.
Rescue my soul, deliver me from the feelings I have. Give me power over it. And God will do it for you. Then if there's anything that just after that, you're in good shape. You take care. But folks that still have malice on hand, you can sit down and try to settle something between them. If you settle it right, they'll accuse you that you took sides. That's true. You better not settle it right, because both sides, in most cases, turn against you. Amen. You settle it even, give just judgment, and two parties of faith, both parties will turn against you. Because they got malice on hand. And they wanted you to put more pressure on that other person you put on. That's what you want to do. And as far as it concerns you, just tell them the truth. We'll talk about truth. Praise the Lord. Now, somebody said one time when Jesus was here, he cast out so many evil spirits, said, well, I guess there's not as many devils now as there was in his time. What a pity. You think in all these senses, the devil got weaker? We're just not finding them. They're there. When I was growing up, my older brothers had a special hunting dog named Dolly. She's so good, they kept Dolly tied up, lest other hunters would steal Dolly. And I've never known them to take Dolly out, but what they didn't feed possum probably within 15 minutes from the time they got into work. Some boys went around saying the Chandler boys got a dog that makes possums. That's what he said. Well, what they're talking about, they'd go through with a bunch of dogs and didn't see a thing. But when they take that dog through, they soon hit the wood. The dog's pretty popping. And it's a popping, too. So they went around saying they make popping. But this is the point. Dolly had a keen enough sense to locate that popping. Amen. Now, if Jesus was walking around on earth, he wouldn't make devils, but he would locate a lot of them you're overlooking. Amen, now. Somebody maybe said, what Brother Chandler yelling about malice? We all say. But I can locate some malice and put my finger on it if you want me to. Amen. And call names if necessary. But this is what I want to bring out tonight. The trouble is people's overlooking some things. Something hurts them deeply, get their mind on the fellow hurt. Think everybody that's come along to try to help them out ought to get on them like I feel. Yeah. And you need to be delivered the way you feel about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad I said everything I said. And then to say some more, so long help.
Amen.
I want to say it plain enough and go slow enough that you'll understand. The Brunswick old common everyday language, when something hurts your feelings so deep that you can't take it off, you're in dangerous condition. And you better not waste your time trying to prove the person who hurt you was wrong, you're wasting your time. After you prove he's wrong, you're still in the same condition. Amen. If he drops his knees and pleads a forgiven sacrifice, you're in the same condition. You're sacrificed, wrong. I wonder if you heard what I said. I said, you're in the same condition as that person pacify you. Please forgive the soul until it's caused you to feel good. That didn't help your soul at all. That helped him get this. You need to get the victory over that hurt you got. When you got it wrongly or justifiably, the hurt is that. That's what Lord Victor, heaven for the sorry. Amen? All right? And we want to get to victory before it reached the stage of bitterness. Malice means an ill will. Guile, I believe, would mean deceit. Hypocrisy would mean pretending to be something that you're not. I believe all of these definitions, in short, is correct. There's far more to it than that, you can rest assured. Evil speaking would perhaps fall in the line of speaking hurtful things about another. Not just the fact you related an event that was evil, but speaking hurtfully. I believe that should be the thought that I have in mind about evil speaking. And to speak against the Holy Ghost is called blasphemy in the Bible. The envy means jealous to the point of bitterness. That's bringing it in the common way. And jealous over something which is not yours, too.
Amen.
Now this word is used, commonly used, quite often used. Like if I see, maybe I see Brother Husky have a nice Bible or whatever it be, so I just almost envy you that Bible. Now when it's used in that connection, we're not talking about I'm bitter against you. We only use it in the sense, I wish I had one like you have. That's what it means. Now here is the point. There are some things that's common to human nature. I've often said this, and I say it now. Sometime I wish that people would give a little more detail when condemning certain things, because they're correct all right enough, but don't explain it good enough. Now somebody would say, if you're jealous, you need to get some help. It's all of it, because something matters if you're jealous of your wife. Brother, you're not supposed to be jealous of your wife. You're supposed to have a pure mind. Well, now, that's good. But I would hate to think that any man in this building was not jealous of his wife. Amen. I would hate to think that. I'd be paying for him more for that than if I knew you were jealous. Now, it's a serious matter if you're superstitious. Amen.
Yeah.
And imagine the evil things, brother. You're in bad shape now. You're in bad shape, and you'll put her in bad shape. Everybody knows. But because a man is jealous of his wife, now Paul said he's jealous of his church.
Yeah.
With a godly jealousy, didn't he say that?
Yeah.
I'd hate to think the pastor of a congregation wasn't jealous of his congregation. So said, what? That's right. How's that? He said he's a jealous God, didn't he? I would hate to think if a false preacher would come in up to Brother Husky's place, oh, he just so tame and said, it's all right. He's a pretty nice man. I think that would provoke him to jealousy in his crowd.
That's it.
If a true minister come in there, I'd leave and go up. More like spring and leave him in charge and come again. See the difference right there? Sure. Well, now the same way, if a man's wife should behave improperly, it ought to provoke him to jealousy. That ought to affect him. That's the way he's supposed to be. And I don't think the relationship is proper there unless that would affect him. Amen. But now here's the point. Coming back to this, envy is not that kind of jealousy we're talking about. Whether the man is jealous over his own wife, holds a protective care over her, or even his own congregation that God placed him over, or whatever it be, that's not envy. Envy is that something in you that causes you to be jealous of the progress of another. You're jealous of their ability, their success, their accomplishment. They can do things you can't do, and do it better than you, and it provokes you to jealousy, and you hate them for it. That's envy. That's what envy is. That's why I said envy is jealous to the point of bitterness. But you're not jealous over something that's your own rightful. Do you have all rights to? Amen. Now you take, as well as I love singing, I can listen to that singing all day. But I can't do much of it myself. Amen. And the young people that travel with me when they're going by a meeting, the folks just have them singing and all them songs, they almost sing them down. And you know they don't call me to sing that too? Leave me. Sit on my feet. Amen. See what I'm saying? Give them all the publicity to those folks, and don't let me get some of that publicity. Let me sing something. Envy. Envy gets bitter towards you. And do the same to him. After a while, they just don't like you. Just can't stand it very much. It's because you can do something they can't do. Because you can excel them. Now here's what I'm saying to you. For the church to progress, increase in numbers, increase in gifts and abilities, you've got to be rid of envy. You've got to have power of envy. While God blesses one, while they are honored, and we call it to the skies, that the first of having the envy, we wouldn't be saved. We'd be jealous. The church needs to be delivered from all envy. It's in all of it, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you, brother, it can be damaged. A little secret engine lurking around in the heart can cause somebody to stir up stuff and bring charges against a person for nothing almost. The envy then. They're looking for an excuse to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Envy of all that. Amen. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something. If you notice that a certain person, I believe I wrote that down, so let me just read it, that too, as a red dress of it, so we'll have it all clear. If you notice, yourself, where we're getting at tonight, When anything a certain person say or do hurts you real easy, just right quick. I mean, known some people to get hurt before the person gets sick. A certain person I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
Now, if you get hurt at everybody, I'll tell you it's easy hurt. And then we pray for the Lord to heal that. But a certain person now hurts you real easy. But other folks will do the same thing and you can look over it. Amen now. You can rest assured that you've got some malice on hand against that person. That's true. But this is what you don't lack to call it malice. If you say I'm hurt, you say it. Well, now what malice is? You're hurt. There's the law. Let's call it by same old ugly name, then we'll hate it and get rid of it. When for some reason a certain person can hurt you real quick, and deep, and other folks do identically the same thing, you can look over it, you've got malice on it. There's something hidden in your heart against them. And you're carrying it. Maybe it's unconsciously, but it's there just the same. You need God to deliver you from that. That you might be saved and go to heaven. Amen now. Now God wants us to make it to heaven. When you find that the condition seek deliverance. Now, I'm trying to make sure I cover certain things. That's the reason I make. And in covering these points, I'm in hopes that by the time I'm through, that I've convinced every soul that hear me that if you go into heaven, you need to quit wasting your time if you've been doing it, dabbling around with what somebody's done to you. I can prove it was wrong and they all did it. Don't waste your time doing that. It's too precious. Give first attention to your soul and take close note to your inward reaction and seek and receive victory in your own heart over the conditions that resulted from the hurt you received. Then you're in good shape if anything needs to be done about it. Praise the Lord. You're in shape to do it. All right? Now, on this malice, I'm going to give you another scripture. You remember we read the scripture. Run it right before me. Laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sensitive milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So be that you taste that the Lord is gracious. And then we had the scripture that I believe we're also said in the third chapter, of which Peter, 2 Peter, down to the last verse, where it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now grow in grace as well as the knowledge. Let's say it that way, that won't hurt you. Grow in grace as well as the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the one next I want is 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. I want to be brought in right next to this scripture. I want the three scriptures together. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. We're reading that. Brethren. They are already brethren, but I don't want you to be children and understanding. Howbeit in malice, I want you to be children. But in understanding, I want to be near. Now, notice this point here. I do not want you to be children in understanding, but in malice be children. But in understanding be near. Let's examine that for a minute. A small child can be hurt. I mean, hurt enough they're going to hit the other child. But if you leave them alone, everybody stay out of it, they soon get over it. Isn't that right? That means it didn't hold that hurt. We call it malice when they're holding it. I believe that would be more proper to think of it as malice when they hold the hurt, keep that hurt, feeling that hurt. In understanding, be children. In be not children, understanding. Now we've got to say. But in malice, be children. But in understanding, be men. In other words, a thing may hurt you deeply, but to get over it real quick, I mean completely over it.
Amen.
That's like a child.
Yeah.
He doesn't hold it. Now a child doesn't understand his right from somebody else's right. That's true. He just understands what he wants. For that reason, he's hurt often when he shouldn't have been hurt. So don't want us to be like that. Don't be like children understanding, getting hurt at every little thing that happens. Let's be men that every little thing don't hurt us. Praise the Lord. We should be men enough to know that it's a common thing that misunderstandings happen among people.
Yeah.
But if we all keep free from malice and misunderstanding, can bring a close understanding. Can result in a great understanding of the poor. So then here's the point. God wants you to have the understanding like a man to know why your rights end and somebody else's rights begin, and do not infringe on their rights. That's a man. But when your rights is infringed on, be like a child, you soon get over it.
Amen.
Amen now. Isn't that a beautiful combination? Know how to treat other folks and not mistreat them, and just like a child, you soon get over it when they mistreat you. That combination will get you to heaven. Amen. All right? Praise the Lord. Now, I believe I should say a little about envy. I don't believe we should leave that unexplained, envy. We've been touching it some, but we'll say a little more about it. Now, wherefore laying aside all malice. Now, we've discovered that. All of it now. And all guile. If you notice about yourself real close, if you find out you're a little deceitful and misleading, that can happen to a person and they don't recognize it themselves being that way. That's true.
Yeah.
They've been in the habit of doing a thing. I've known a person to do a thing and they get to thinking after. So that wasn't straight. They go back and straighten it out. Amen. Let's don't tolerate a little deceit. Praise the Lord.
Who of that testified one step? I forgot your question. I believe we have time to do that a little. So our husband got up to sit and go to work. And said about time he got through into, she purposely did that. When he got through into the living room or somewhere and was about to get out, said it just struck her mind. But you acted deceitful. And you done the purpose. She said, husband, I'm awake. Would you want to say something before you leave? She resisted that thing right now. She was deceitful. That's what she was. The way people like to do it, just disown it. I'm saved, that talent.
Amen.
But if you deceive them, just deceitful, you get rid of it. Amen.
Lay all of it aside. Not just a little. Just lay all of it aside. Praise the Lord. Heaven's where it's at. Amen.
All hypocrisy. We think of Judas, oh, he was a hypocrite. You have to get long before you get that bad.
I now weigh 228 pounds, and I've got some bone that don't weigh that much. You can be a man without weighing 228 pounds. A man can be a hypocrite without doing what Judas did. Then another thing that I want to get to that's most important to you and me, I'm not afraid somebody's going around you always hypocrite, no. But get you in a close place. And you can't be flawed. Maybe a prayer, something different than this. Lay that aside too. Said all of it, didn't it? I was impressed with this very scripture one time when the children were all home. We had some restrictions. Get up and get ready. Get your clothes on at a certain time and have devotion. We had devotion every morning. The whole, when you're all waiting there. We just had an hour of service every morning. Get up time now. All right. There's one. Nearly every time didn't have his shoes on or something or other. From the room. Everybody had clothes, shoes on, the rest of that was different.
jumped up and kept kicking around like feet were sore.
He hadn't said a word. He was hypocritical. He was a fool. He was a fool. He was a fool.
Amen. That's what you do. But I arranged it. I don't see why, but that didn't help at all. He met the same things he met. In fact, I wouldn't have whipped this in his ministry.
Dad, I would just.
Believe me, I wouldn't have touched
that. I'd appreciate that.
But with the hypocrite, pretending. Amen. When the Lord gives him a corner of faith,
he has a gut.
That's true. Faith. Admit it just like it is and beg for mercy from all parts of the earth. God will help us to pull out of that faith. We won't have to put on the front.
God will have mercy on us.
So we'll have to give him them jams tonight. For hypocrisy. Amen. And then after that was envy. Lay us out all envy. I believe I have used a few scripture references. If you'll get your, if you want to write it down.
I want to show you about the
that I put together. In fact, you don't need all of them, but I'll read as many as I think would be good at this time. Now, in fact of the matter, in the 1 Corinthians 13:4, get the Bibles ready here. There's several people get the Bibles ready. Then I can read a few of them without taking so much time. Each one get one sip. Then that way we can get it out a little quicker.
1 Corinthians 13:4 from me. Good. Somebody get Job 5, verse 2. Another get Proverbs 14 and verse 30. And Proverbs 23 and verse 17. And Proverbs 27 and 4.
Amen. Now, I'm going to give another set of scriptures which is close to what I want. Yes. It's Matthew 27 and 18. As long as we got reading.
Verse 10. There might be some repeating here, but we'll get to what we want. And Acts 7 and verse 9. We might read those for the time being. Let's see what we get out of it. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:4, let's notice what it says. Read loud.
God is such as long and is kind. And prayer
is prayer to voice not itself. When our charity envies not, what's happening to you when you get envious? Can you see what I'm driving at on this text? Charity envies not, what's the matter with me now? When I become envious, isn't something like it? Isn't the charity leaking out? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. All right? And Job 5 and verse 2. Notice reading of that.
Wrath killeth the foolish man. Did you know that, Jeff?
Envy slayeth him. I say when you get envy in your heart, you need to get saved. When envy gets controlled, you need to get saved. Now, I'm aware of the fact that there's certain things can take hold of a person and they don't have light on it. I understand that. But it's best for us to lay this down so we can get it clear in our minds. When envy gets controlled, you need to get saved. And I believe you'll agree, the Bible itself is going to prove that when we get through here. All right, Proverbs 14 chapter and the 30th verse. Notice the reading very close.
Reading aloud for me.
Sound heart. Life of the flesh.
Envy is the rottenness of the bone. Is that bad enough? Is that a bad enough picture to describe envy? The rottenness of the bone. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Pray God to give us this thing. Pray God that we never allow malice to light, and it'll never come to the point of envy. Stop it right in the start. Nip the bud when any feelings develop. All right? In Proverbs 23 and verse 17, we'll read now.
Let not thine heart envy sinners.
Don't even envy sinners.
But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long.
Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now, didn't you see something there? Don't even envy sinners. Heaven is where we started. But keep that in mind. All right, we'll not say a lot about them. Now, Proverbs 27 and 4. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Wrath and anger is bad enough, but who can stand in it? In other words, it's a dreadful day to stand before envy. We expect to prove that scripture before we close this little lesson here. Wrath and anger. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Let's pray that we don't have it. Let's pray that we're not, that we deny it, that we just get rid of it if we have it. Live without it. There'll be no trouble among the people that doesn't have any envy in among them all. Amen? In a family, church, large or small congregation, if there's no envy ready at all in that midst, there'll not be anything to trouble with. Amen. That's why some things can't be settled. That's true. It's gone too far. It's not a little malice of hate, but deep bitterness and envy is reigning. Something, you can settle it, you got to settle it next year, and still break out and go on. Don't you know I know better than that?
Yes.
Don't you know I know somebody going to bathe in that house?
Yes.
Sure. They get saved. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Now in Matthew, the 27th chapter, 18th verse, we'll read. He knew that for envy they had delivered him. Amen. Now this must have been talking about Christ, was it not? He knew that for envy they delivered him. That's why Christ was taken and nailed to the cross and murdered envy caused. He hadn't did a thing to those folks that did it that way. But it did things they couldn't do. He win publicity and fame. Amen. That made him jealous of his trustees. The jealousy was part of bitterness and for envy. They brought him up and nailed him across the hill. Envy made him jealous. What's the matter with you when you're anxious to expose somebody else's shortcomings? What made you do that? Amen. What is waiting on me? Well, I want to just tell you so you'll know how to pray now and get up in the public congregation and tell a lot of stuff about somebody. What made you do it? Something's the matter with you wrong.
Yes,
I don't see no need to pray in a lot of stuff out about people.
No.
Get out on the knees and tell all about them. Praise the Lord. You best to get up from that and quit praying. That's true. God knew it, didn't he? If somebody made a serious mistake that has really caused people to think less than them to know it and they confide it to me, I can say, Lord, bless this brother in regard to his request, and God knows exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't have to name all the places done and cry it all out and describe it on my knees. Everybody know it now. Something matter with that on my knees. Heaven's where we start. I don't know what to think of this kind of talk, and I'm not too much concerned, because the Lord told me to talk this way, so I think that's the main thing. Now, let's try and mark the 15th chapter and the 10th verse.
Now that is, for the same thing, but it's a different writer. He knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. He knew that. Envy is the cause of that. That's what caused my Lord to be nailed on the cross and murdered. Envy. And if envy can speak in among us under the disguise, I remember one time there was a person envied another person. Called me up and just laid it out for concerning this person. And wanted me to do my best to not stop the person speaking somewhere else. I said, well, I think you're doing all right. He said, yes, but the poor man's soul. I'm so earnest, concerned about the poor man's soul. And I found out they called up other people that wasn't even preachers, just scattered here and there. So I'm concerned about the poor man's soul. That wasn't soul. It was envy. That was envy. Amen. Envy that person and was trying to destroy them under the pretext I'm trying to rescue a soul. If I was trying to rescue a soul, I'd get to him and nobody would know a thing about it. I wouldn't call up everybody, none preachers and folks that maybe not having to say. I wouldn't do that trying to help somebody's soul. Envy. Amen. All right. In Acts the 7th chapter and 9th verse, when I read. The patriarch, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Joseph was a favorite son of his father, son of his old age. Amen. Father made him a coat of many colors. I think he just loved the boy so that the rest of them was bitter for him. Hated him for it. And said, envy caused him to sell him into Egypt. Envy met all that. Took their own blood brother, I mean, and sold him into slavery. Envied him. Envy's a bad thing. And let us locate it. Let us see if it's collecting around close to me. Amen. Now. In Acts the 13th chapter, the 45th verse. And Acts 17, chapter the 5th verse. Let's see what we got here. Acts 13, 45 verse. When the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. Contradicting and blaspheming. Envy made them do that. Amen now. Now 17 and 5. Jews which believe not, filled with envy, took certain loose fellows of base of thought, set all the city on the uproar. Down the house of Jason. Do you notice that envy caused them to stir up folks that was not decent people? Stirred them up against the apostles, envied them. Then said, well, I didn't have to do that. Some of them were folks out in the town. But it's because envy. Amen. All right. In Romans 1:29, it mentioned being filled with envy and murder. I wanted to get the two together to see their companions. Amen. Envy and murder going right together. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. Wickedness. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Murder. Debate. Deceit. Iniquity. Whispers and backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil. Now notice the fact that envy and murder was right in the middle of that. They go right along together. And listen to me as we speak here in closing out.
when a thing acts a certain way, it's probably that way. Back to my point again. Don't tell me that you got a cat out there for me. So I've got a beautiful cat for you. Maybe you say it's a beautiful dog. They go out there and get no dog and say, mew, mew, mew. That's no dog. Amen. That's not a dog. I want that dog to bark. Amen. But I'm saved and sanctified. Oh, I'm all in all for God. And just envy and the diving and that's the wrong nature. We need to face it. We need to see it. Amen now. If this is far here, and you see little sprigs of corn coming up, don't tell me you planted peas under that. Gonna be soft the corn. Amen. That's a hallelujah. We're all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the love of God. Good. But if I see little sprigs of corn coming up and some corn now, need to be dug up. Amen. Envy is a bad thing. And I want you to rest assured that envy is close to home sometimes. You don't have any idea. Now here is a man who seemed like was afraid something would get started. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and 20th verse, see what we find there. And also 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. Now 2 Corinthians 12, 20 is the one I want first. Read it out loud. I fear, lest when I come, I shall find you with such as I would. I shall find unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debate, envy, wrath, strife, and backbiting, whispering. Now, I'm afraid that I might find that when I come. Amen. Now, wasn't that the Corinthian church? Wasn't Paul the founder of that church? Then I'm afraid when I come that I might find you, might not find you as I would like. You may not find me as you would like. I'm afraid there might be some envy and stuff among us. He thought it's fair that it'd be among the good people of God, didn't it? Well, it can be among the people of God today. Maybe lots of folks got the victory over it, but enough that don't have it to create a problem for all. I'm afraid that I'll find that when it comes. God wants us to believe that today, that that can happen. If you believe it can happen, it probably won't happen. Let him that taketh ye stand upon you, take heed lest ye fall. Now the one that I call in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, you can read. Some people down there in that congregation was yet carnal. And I said, it's right among you envy. Right among you some strife. There's some division among you. Are you not carnal? Walk with me. Now he wrote to the church at Corinth and said, this is the first epistle with that, that he's afraid, amen, and he mentioned to me that there were envy right among them down there, amen. Well, let's hope this set can't get among us. Let's say we're going to see it, don't see the note. And if it's any air, we're going to get rid of it. But don't deny that it can't. That it cannot get there. And it used to be that our country said was almost protected by the two great oceans, but not now. In this great age of rockets and atomic bombs and long-range planes, no. All right? Let's look to God to have the victory in our own heart. All right? In Galatians 5, 21, then read verse 26, the same person. Read again, envy. Now, envy is the work of the flesh, is it not? And murder. See how closely related. Yes.
Now, let's close with a verse in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse, and notice what it says.
He is proud,
knowing nothing,
doubting about questions,
strife of words,
whereof cometh envy.
Right. Now, it didn't explain just what he's talking about, but the main part I wanted to get was how that envy would take hold. Now, I want to close this lesson this way. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, which is ill will, all guile, all evil speaking, all hypocrisy, all envy, as new born babes, desire the sensitive milk of the word that you may grow by that, if so be that you have hastened, as the Lord is gracious. Now, it seems to me like that you're not in condition to grow unhindered until you get in the state that's described here. Something hinders that growth. I'm giving it, putting it this way to bring the thought out, grow in grace as well as the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that doing an injustice to the text. But now to grow, he's described what to lay aside. It puts you just like a newborn babe, then you can grow thereby. And if you lay the malice aside, and those things named before you got on to envy, you'll never get to envy. Envy will never have a hope. So then, the thing I want to leave in our minds tonight, let's stop long before it reaches the stage of bitterness, deep hurt feelings. The first thing affects you, go to work on that deep hurt feeling. The first thing affects you, go to work on that. You go to work on it yourself, and I believe you can live faith and have power in your own life to get the victory. God bless you. Amen.
Have no faith in it. When God works in it, the devil gives you the right there. Yes. between the altar and the temple, prayer and the altar. You know what I am doing. You're not saying that. That's kind of making the world. You need to know what the matter with me. And you know what I am doing that. Amen. Some of the one I have heard, I heard it from a good source. Don't you know some people that are being the same program? You can go to the other one. But one person that I found was going to fail. And I believe it. So this guy is not believing God. And the only one I believe. He goes out of the line of that. Amen.